And then it is a tremendous honour now to welcome our distinguished guest speaker for the night, Lord Peter Ricketts. Welcome. Lord Peter Ricketts spent 40 years as a British diplomat before retiring in 2016. And of course, it would take way too much time that you better be speaking to mention all the interesting things you've done in the course of your career. But let me just mention a few. Lord Ricketts' last post was as the UK's ambassador to France, where he was heavily involved with UK-French defence cooperation. Before that, he was also the UK's first national security advisor and permanent undersecretary at the then Foreign and Commonwealth Office. Lord Ricketts was also involved in policy on the UK interventions in the Balkans, Iraq, Afghanistan and Libya, and represented Britain at NATO in the early 2000s. Today, Lord Ricketts is a visiting professor at King's College London, amongst many other commitments. And with that, I'd like to give the floor to you, Sir Peter. Very warm welcome again.
Thank you very much, Barbara. And very good to meet everyone, at least virtually. I'm just so frustrated that we only have such a short time to fix the problems of the world. But I've agreed with Kat that anyone who has thoughts, comments, questions to run past me afterwards, please let Kat have them. And I will try and respond in some way, because interaction is always much better than someone just talking. However, I'll say a few things, hopefully to provoke thought. First of all, I do think this is the biggest strategic moment facing the UK since 1945. I think if you put together Brexit, the return of muscular nationalism and populism, and the pandemic, you have an extraordinarily important moment. And I think that the exercise you're doing is really vital, because a government strategy document like the Integrated Review is not a national strategy. A national strategy is something that people instinctively feel in tune with. If you stop somebody in the pub or on the street and ask them what the country's purpose is, what its role is in the world, that there is some sense of it. I'm sorry to say that for my generation, it is still 1940 and all that. It's exceptionalism. It's standing alone, its distinctiveness, it's being a great power in the world. And I don't know what, for your generation, the instinctive sort of national strategy thought is. And I think one of the intriguing opportunities of this review and afterwards is to try and alter those perceptions, make them more credible and realistic in the world it is today, and take them out and generate wider awareness for them. So that's, I think, the excitement of the project. I think it's really vital. Second point, don't be surprised if the integrated review, when it comes out, disappoints you. I know an enormous amount of thought is going into it. I know some highly brilliant people are in leading roles, like John Bew from King's. However, politicians are really lousy at strategy. That's one of the learnings I take away from 40 years. Not only this generation of civil servants and politicians have not had any experience really of making big strategic calls. We've been in a settled environment for those 40 years. But even more so, politicians live in the instant. They are crisis managers. Their whole world is full of problems and crises coming at them from all angles. They have the social media on their phone. They have the 24-hour media chasing them all the time. They have the next statement to Parliament, the reaction of the markets, the issues with constituents. Expecting them to think about 2045 is, I think, completely unrealistic, I'm afraid. I think 2045 tomorrow afternoon is about the furthest that most will go. They don't like choosing. For politicians, choosing is dangerous because it means disappointing some people, leaving lobbies unsatisfied, potential opponents with sticks to beat you with. So they tend to prefer avoiding choice if they can. They want to focus on the immediate operational rather than the longer term. Anyway, the longer term is always disrupted by the unexpected events, and that's been very true in recent years. And so I fear that the IR, when it comes out, will have a lot of good intellectual underpinning, but will at the front end be full of slogans and three-word statements about Britain, the force for good, and global Britain, and distinctiveness, and exceptionalism. And I think a key task for your group and others like you will be to pick up from where the IR leaves off, and then take that out into a process that will probably take several years to socialize it, to improve it, to test it with people, and try to move towards a sort of position where Britain does have a national strategy for the 21st century, which is more in keeping with the country's influence in the world, which is not negligible, but it's certainly not what it was in 1945. And as a parenthesis, I would say the way the government are going about conducting Brexit, I think they're reducing Britain's effective influence all the time, not least by deliberately breaking international law. However, we have to work with what we have. And I think, therefore, there are a whole series of things that need to be rethought. Multilateralism, a new multilateralism for this new post-pandemic world, but not, I think, one that throws out the UN and NATO, because the institutions have structures, they have a capacity to deliver programs, which is important. Things like a new D10 of democracies is an interesting idea, but it'll be very ad hoc, and it will meet episodically. It won't have a capacity to actually follow through. But of course, we do need to think about new ways of cooperating. And we need to think about what we are going to make national security priorities for the future. I wouldn't even dare try to think to 2045, but in the next 10 years, clearly climate change, clearly the risk of cyber attack, resource shortages, migration, population pressures are all going to be high on the agenda. And public health is now going to get the kind of priority that in my time, counterterrorism had. Counterterrorism had all the money poured into it for 10 years. As a result, we were caught short by other threats and crises coming up that we hadn't seen. And I think that's one last challenge I think I put out to people. As one focuses now on resilience and on these global threats, we mustn't also lose sight of the things that are stirring underneath the confrontation between the US and China, which will, I think, shape national security for at least the next decade or two. So very rapidly, that's a run over issues which I think are going to be fundamental for the period beyond the integrated review. I think it is a very exciting time. I think it is a time for new thinking. I'm not confident that our current generation of politicians will have the headspace and the time and the patience and frankly the skill to think beyond the immediate crises into what lies ahead. And I think that's the very real opportunity and benefit that your project offers. So I do hope that you'll stick with it and see it on beyond the IR. And I hope that I will have the chance to stay in touch with you in the first place by linking up with you on thoughts that you have as a result of your session. As I say, with Kat, I will work on how I can perhaps feed back to you some responses of my own. But I mean, there is a very rapid run over an enormous field. I think it's exciting, and I look forward very much to hearing how you get on and what your conclusions are.